Church, don't let the world steal truth from you. I am not against homosexuals. I've on more than one occasion sat at the deathbed of people who had been trapped by the lie of homosexuality and were dying from AIDS complications. I didn't shy away from it. I laid hands on them, prayed with them. One brother, I was able to pray with him and see him receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, Pastor, was he raised up from his deathbed? No, he died because the Word of God said they will receive in their flesh the just recompense of their deeds. His flesh was still suffering, but God set his spirit free and he went home praying in tongues. But Pastor, he died of AIDS complication. So what? There's a lot of people in church going to die drunk, die cursing, die all kinds of things. And people say, well, Pastor, you can't say anything about our president. That's racist. One day I asked a person who said that to me, I said, would you explain to me what color a person has to be before I can say they're an ass? I'm not a racial person, but we got an ass in the White House. And I wish to God that we would have had a black president instead of a Muslim. And I watched what people did to Herman Cain, a tremendous brother, a real Christian, not a pretend Christian, a real Christian. I used to love to hear him sing gospel. And after what he did with multiple businesses, turn them around, dear God, we could use that in the White House right now, turning our financial policy around instead of trying to destroy our nation. The church, I don't say what I say out of prejudice. I don't say it out of, you know, wanting to get even with the gays or anything else. Does everybody have notes in their hand? Oh, if you don't, you will have in a second. I say what I say because truth must be upheld regardless of people's moral appetites or regardless of their color or regardless of their station in life. And in case you don't understand what I'm saying, crap is crap no matter what title it has. So tell the truth, church, and begin to pray the word concerning our elected officials. Begin to pray the word concerning our finances of our nation and what's going on. You see, there are people that are deceived, and they'll say to you, well, the gay and lesbian community just wants what other people have. No, they don't. They want to redefine marriage and destroy it, and they don't want to have equality with you. They want to punish you for not being like them. You see, if all you care about is equality, well, if I go to a restaurant and they want to serve me, I go to another restaurant and give them my money. I don't sue that restaurant and try and destroy them for not serving me. Because when you watch people's actions, they tell you the perversion of their heart. Our nation was founded on truth, and it will return to the truth it was founded on, that Jesus is Lord, that God is in charge, and no one else can do it. Well, Pastor, if God is in charge, how can the things that have happened happen? Because God said to men, men, I leave the authority and rule of the earth in your hands. He set aside three things that he would retain unto himself to intervene in the course of men if they broke that strain. But otherwise, he said, you got the government you voted for. You got the finances you voted for. So learn to vote and learn to be a voice in the wilderness telling the truth to your neighbors and friends and fellow employees so that our nation returns to truth and justice. I don't want to persecute any group. I don't want to run any group out of town. I don't want to form a committee to judge who's right and who's not. I just don't want what you want to do to be forced on me. You want to do it? Go do it. I think every city in the nation would be a better place if they had an area designated for drugs and an area designated for prostitution, area designated for weird and crazy behavior. People are going to do. You can't legislate them out of it. But you can regulate where they do it. You ain't going to do it in my front yard. You ain't going to do it in my living room, and you're not going to do it in a house where I minister the truth of God's word. But I don't have a problem with you doing what you're going to do, because God said evil will always be here until he comes and finishes off. So I don't have a problem. I know a lot of stupid Christians do, but I think most towns would be better off if they had a red light district where it was all kept over there. You want to do it? It's over there. Then you don't have to hide your car from people, because good people won't be driving through there anyway, writing down license numbers. You want to do your drugs? Fine. It's right over there. There's a whole area. But don't bring it to our schools and to our kids. If you caught over here, we shoot you on sight. But if you want to do it, go over there and do it. We can't tell people you can't do these things. You want to have a crazy lifestyle? Crazyville is right over there. Go to Crazyville. But don't come to the Walmart with it all hanging out. Oh, wait, they do that, don't they? No. the devil created Walmart just so crazy people would have a place to feel normal. That's a joke, church. Why do we celebrate Pastor Appreciation? Why do we set aside a day to engage together in honoring the pastoral gift? Some of you have been here long enough to remember some 15, 18 years ago. One Sunday morning, I called a few people out of the congregation and I handed them a book by Creflo Dollar about how to honor your man of God. Because God had taught us something at House of the Lord. Sister Winnie, Marilyn, a couple of people here will remember Brother Derek. There was a time where we'd started in 1985. We started building a new house for House of the Lord. We bought 18 acres of land east of the city on Daffin Lane. We bought 18 acres and we began to build a 26,000 square foot building, pay as you go. And then in 85, the Austin economy went in the toilet. Corrupt real estate people had oversold the Austin community, and there were pieces of property that one realtor had sold and flipped sometimes 16, 17 times. One piece of property, jacking the price up each time to make the market in Austin look like it was skyrocketing when it was only false sales. In February of 1986, 81 contractors filed bankruptcy in 1 month in Austin, Texas. In 86, the offerings of House of the Lord dropped $450,000 that year. Now, I don't know about your budget, but when my budget drops $450,000, it makes eating hard. And your staff went over a year behind in pay, but they kept working and laboring just like they was getting paid every week because they trusted God. And one day God caught them all up. In one day. Because we continued to decree the truth, we didn't say, well, we're quitting, we're leaving, we'll go someplace else where we can't get... No, your staff stayed faithful to the stuff and they were rewarded. But during that time, things were tight. And one day the Lord said to me, the hardworking farmer must be first partaker of the fruit. And I said, what? He said, tell the board you haven't had a raise in 6 years, and if they'll give you a raise, the finances of the church will change. Well, we wasn't even able to pay the bills of the church. That's why I wasn't getting paid. So I went into the board and I said, I want you to meet, and I'm going to leave the room when you do it, but I want you to discuss giving me a raise. I don't care what it is, what you do. It's not about the amount, it's about the action. And there was a little discussion, you know, well, we ain't got the money to pay you now. How are we going to give you a raise? I said, I want you to vote that any time the money is there, I will be paid at the new rate. They had a vote. They voted me a raise. And beginning the next week, every week, the finances of the church went up to where it could be taken care of. A few years went by, and we met another lull. And I said to the board, I think it's time to vote me another raise. And so they met, they voted raise, and the church finances went up. Now, I want you to understand, I have not said a word to the board for over 10 years about a raise. I haven't had one. And I'm not going to say a word to the board about it, because that was a season when God spoke to me and said, do that, because he was proving his word. But I watched God do his word, because he said, if the hardworking farmer is not honored first, then the fruit that I had intended will be held back from the downflow, because in God things come down. And where your shepherd goes, the sheep can follow. And I want you to know, I'm going into supernatural abundance, Roberta. I'm going into financial wealth and abundance like the world has never seen. Therefore, I want to see you going there too, because I pastor the wealthiest group of people, the wealthiest church the world has ever seen. But Pastor Appreciation Day is not about getting some money for pastor, because God takes good care of me. It's not about seeing how much money we can raise for pastor, because it's not about the amount, it's about the action and the attitude of the heart that allows people to be blessed. And so we began to establish pastor appreciation, and out of that, I can't even tell you how many churches have begun to have Pastor Appreciation Day in their churches and have come to our congregation, to our pastoral covering team, to learn how to do it in their churches. And we have been invited to come to other churches and speak at their churches about pastor appreciation and what it can do for the body. The pastor is the set man, the shepherd to the sheep, the one who waters, feeds, and covers the flock. Apostles, they pioneer works. And a man is not an apostle because he goes around adopting churches and telling people to come into his authority.
That's right.
A man who has never pioneered a work is not an apostle.
Amen. Amen. That's
right. One more time. A man who has never pioneered a work is not an apostle, no matter what business card he carries or what he had written on his Bible.
That's right. That's right.
A prophet doesn't prophesy once in a while. He sees into what God is doing. Not just sees into the future, he sees into what God is doing right now. Because the prophetic gift is the gift of seeing and understanding what the Spirit is saying and doing. The evangelists, they enlarge the kingdom. Sometimes by leading others to the Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes by bringing an awakening to asleep bodies. But the evangelist is about enlarging the kingdom and activating the people of God to the purposes of God. An evangelist is not synonymous with a guest speaker, because most guest speakers are not evangelists, because they haven't led anyone to the Lord in years, but they just simply go around to churches pontificating about their favorite subject. Understand the difference between an evangelist and a guest speaker. An evangelist, no matter what he's doing, will return to enlarging the kingdom, reviving the body of Christ, and leading people out of darkness, whether that is the darkness of sin or the darkness of deception in the body of Christ. But a pastor teacher, they tend the flock. They raise up local expressions of the international universal body of Christ. They cover the flock with prayer, with truth, with understanding, and with compassion. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elders and witnesses to the suffering of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not because you're forced to or not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain. Don't be in it for the money or what you get out of it, but with eagerness, not yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge. Don't be boss. Be a covering. But providing and proving to be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Then Acts chapter 20. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among you, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. You see, this is not my church. You are not my people. You're God's family. You're God's flock. And he has entrusted to me to oversee you, to pray for you, to cover you, to teach you, to bring you truth, to bring you light. Not to try and run your life. That's not a shepherd who tells you who you can marry, where you can work, what you can do. That's not godly.
Right.
That's manipulation and control.
Right.
No, God has sent me here to hear your heart and to hear his heart towards you and to bring the two hearts together in the unity of the Spirit.
Amen.
Our Lord has a plan for his called out ones. In the original text of your New Testament, the church is not in there. The word is ecclesia, and translators later put the word church in, and we missed and lost a whole lot. It's like his name is not Jesus. The angel said, you shall call his name Yeshua, which translates redeemer, for he shall redeem his people from their sins. But translators said, well, let's make up a word. And so they made up the word Jesus, and people run around the country preaching, pray in Jesus' name. And God winks at their ignorance for a season, but then they reach a point where it doesn't work anymore and they want to blame God. When it's not God, it's just you had time to learn. That ain't his name. And just because during a season of your ignorance he allowed you to operate in that deception, it's time to grow up. So if you're going to emphasize the name Redeemer. Redeemer, anointed of God, Yeshua HaMashiach. His first name was not Jesus. His last name wasn't Christ. His name was Yeshua HaMashiach, Redeemer, anointed of God. It's God's plan that all of his people grow up into all his fullness, because God doesn't want the body of Christ to be represented by the fivefold ministry. He wants the fivefold ministry to train up the whole body to represent him. Every born-again child of God can heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. They don't have to wait till Wednesday night or Sunday to bring somebody to pastor. You can do it yourself. You're authorized. Mark, the last chapter, the last five verses, you're authorized to pursue signs and wonders in your Christian walk. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. It didn't say, and these signs will follow the fivefold ministry. It says it belongs to every believer. My job is to teach you, you're bigger than you've ever been. You're stronger than you've ever known. You're able to do things you don't even yet recognize that are in your wheelhouse. But our Lord has established a structure. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. What's God's plan? He wants all things filled with his presence. And he gave some. Oh, did you hear what I said? He wants all the earth filled with his presence. That's the banks, the courts, the parliament, everything filled with his presence. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. You see, God set the pastor in the church to tell you who you are and how you can do what you can do. He didn't set the pastor in the church to do it for you so you can say it's getting done because we pay pastor to do it. No, his job is to build you up so you can do the work of service, so you can build up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, Well, Pastor, you know, there's a lot of things called faith. No, there's only one thing called faith. And it is bidirectional. The faith of God towards us, the faith of us towards God. But there's only one faith. It is an acting upon the truth that He has established. When God deals with you, He deals with you according to His Word. To teach you that when you deal with Him according to His Word, not your wants, your needs, your wishes, or your desperation. Oh God, don't you see what I need? No, He doesn't. He sees His Word. So you don't lift before God your need, your want, your desire. You lift before Him His promise. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So that here's the result, that when you grow up to understand the truth of God's new covenant, you're no longer children tossed to and fro here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the craftiness and deceitful schemings. No, your eyes are open and you know who you are, who God is, and what He has called you to be and do. Our Lord sent gifts into the assembly of His called out ones, His ecclesia. Of the fivefold ministry gifts, pastor is also called shepherd. He is to feed, cover, mature, and protect the flock while representing the master to them. A pastor who doesn't respond to you in love and openness is not a pastor. I'm amazed at how many people are running to churches where they have someone called pastor and he's got an unlisted phone number. Nobody knows where he lives. Nobody can get in touch with him. And you have to wait 2 years to get an appointment. That's not a pastor. A pastor is there where you can see him, talk to him, touch him, feel him. And he lives in front of you. He doesn't live a secluded private life that no one sees. Church, for 36 years, you've walked with me and you've talked with me and you've seen me at death's door and you've seen me celebrating God's abundant supernatural provision. You've seen me shouting in the streets and you've seen me when the load was heavier than I could bear myself. And I needed your hands to stand with me. But church, a pastor lives it in public because the fact that you're called to be an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, evangelist, doesn't mean you no longer have feet of clay. Doesn't mean you can no longer make a mistake or fail or screw up. I've got news for you. Fivefold ministry gifts screw up, make mistakes, fall short of the glory of God. But the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Pray for them, but don't touch them. Right. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet, what does that mean, Pastor? Do I receive someone say, well, in the name of Elijah, in the name of Isaiah? No, no, no. Because they are a prophet, you receive them as that office, not you want a resume and a list of accomplishments. If they come in the name of a prophet, then receive them as a prophet and you'll get a prophet's reward. What is a prophet's reward? What is a prophet's reward? Anything he's empowered to speak into your life. What's he empowered to speak into your life? The full counsel of God. And he receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man. Somebody comes to you and says, I'm a believer. Accept them until they prove you that they are lying. Well, Pastor, what if I get hurt? Hey, it's part of the game. You don't become a fighter if you're afraid of getting hit. You don't become a baseball player if you're afraid of somebody throwing a spherical object in your direction. Well, I don't want to go to bat. They might hit me with a ball. If they do, you get a free base. Ain't no big deal. Play the game. And don't be afraid. Well, you know, if I just receive someone because they tell me they're a believer, they might do something wrong. Well, the Bible says watch and pray. If I don't know you, I'm going to keep my eyes open while I'm praying. even if you're leading the prayer. But when you receive a righteous man because he comes to you representing himself as a righteous man, then you receive a righteous man's reward. Maybe not from him, but from another righteous man who restores you after they robbed you. And whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. There are manifold blessings and rewards for honoring those God is sending across your path and living his life through. Honor people that God sends your way and watch what God does in your life. As a sent commission ministry gift to represent the Lord of the church, our Lord lays out a chain of command and blessing for honoring his plan and designation of individuals to fulfill his work. For whoever gives you a cup of water, a drink because of your name, redeemed, or pastor, as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. When you do something because you're honoring somebody and honoring God and honoring them, God says you're not going to lose your reward for doing it. For God is not unjust to forget your works and labors of love. If even the smallest of gifts or acts of kindness is recognizing a representative of the Lord of the church receives an earthly and heavenly reward, how much greater the return from the Lord for fuller response to his ministry gifts? If you can get a reward for giving a righteous person a glass of water, what do you get for honoring a ministry gift? The anointed Redeemer brings even more clarity in how he sees people's response and reception of his ministry gifts to his church. The one who listens to you, representative of the gospel, listens to me. And the one who rejects you, representative of the gospel, rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, ministry gifts, it's a chain of command, an established order that God has. When you touch one, you touch all. He could hardly be more exact in his view of those he sends to do his work. Paul relates how a church body is to see the ministry gift God sets before them. You did not despise or loathe when you saw me in physical infirmity, but you received me as an angel of God. You received me as though you're receiving Christ Jesus himself. And Paul said, for that reason, this church is blessed. In case some were slow and recognized the channel of blessings our Lord was setting in place for his people, we can go to John chapter 13, verse 20, to see how our Lord sees himself as one with his designated representatives. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives, whomever I send, receives me. And he who receives me, receives him who sent me. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, representatives of the kingdom. You receive a child of God, a minister of God, because they represent God. God says, I got you back, and I will reward you. The Lord had touched on this structure of authority and delegation in John 12:44, and Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe just in me, but in him who sent me. Even the ministry of our Lord and Redeemer was one of representing a higher level of authority. A person touches Jehovah, Lord of hosts, when in faith they receive a ministry gift he sends. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, his word, his representative. Our Lord laid out a clear picture of how he sees his representatives in the parable of the landowner whose representatives and finally his son, that's a typo where it says one, it should be son, were rejected by those who he sent to them. You remember the story. A landowner sends representatives to the people to receive a portion of the crops. And they stone them and they kill them and they treat them despitefully. And so he says, I'll give them another chance. I'll send my son. Surely they'll respect him. But they didn't. And we know that story was a picture of the prophets and our Christ, our Lord. But he said, this is the way God sees it. Whomever he sends to you. Well, pastor, if they're a true apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, I'll recognize them. What if God sends a righteous daughter and he's given her a word for you and you don't receive it? She'll get over it. I reject her. No big deal. No. You rejected God.
Right.
Why? Because, to quote the great philosopher, which philosopher am I going to quote? From the Blues Brothers. We're on a mission from God. And when John uttered those words, I thought, how many times have we missed someone because the vessel was a little different than us, a little stranger? But sometimes looking at the carrier of the gift, if you're in a battle position and a pigeon shows up with a note from command post, do you say, I ain't taking no advice from a stupid bird? Or do you read the message and see what headquarters has said to you? They might have just approved your 3-day pass. And you could have missed it because he ain't taking no message from a pigeon. A prophet of God sat by a brook, and God sent every day, Brother Friday, a dirty bird with food in his mouth. How was the prophet sustained? A dirty bird brought him lunch. And sometimes we go, he could have starved there if he had rejected. But when God sends a blessing to you,
receive it.
Rejoice and be glad.
Amen.
And honor the vessel he sent it in, because if God thought they were good enough to bring you a word, they're closer to God than you are.
Praise God.
In that situation.
Glory.
Not in his approved and loving kindness. So why do we have Pastor Appreciation Day? Pastor Appreciation Day is about training the body to recognize that whether it's a pigeon or a dirty bird, well, that's no difference, is it, really? God selects people and he uses people. And sometimes God's going to send someone to you and they're going to bring a word in season. And you're not going to like the way they look or the way they appear. But you listen, there's God in it. But when God sets ministry gifts, whether they're apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, whatever that gift is, when God puts his hand on them, and there is evidence of God's hand, not they call themselves, because there are a lot of self-appointed prophets and apostles and pastors who God's hand is not on. But in this body, you've had ample opportunity to have great men and women of God through the years come and reaffirm to you that this is God's doing. There's times that you've had people in this body that God gave them a word. So pastor appreciation is not about blowing wind up pastor's skirt or, well, we'll give it one day and we'll give him $5 and that'll make up for all the times we talked about him during the year. No, it's about honoring God by honoring the gift he sent. And so pastor appreciation is a time where you don't say, I don't really care for him that much. I think I'll go to the lake on Sunday. No, it's a time where you say, Father God, thank you for sending a gift into our midst. And I'm going to honor him and recognize him and bless him in a way I would if you yourself had come. Because you said to me, if I honor him, I'm honoring you. If I reject him, I'm rejecting you. And if I reject you, Lord, I'm rejecting the Father who sent you and put this whole thing in play. I thank God that he's allowed me to pastor this people. And I know there's a lot of things I've spoken over your lives and into your lives through the years that we have not yet seen the full manifestation. But church, it's happening. The Lord shared with you through Sister Gail earlier, this is a God-ordained season. And even though you can't see the fullness of it yet, you can't see the coming together of it yet. I think every one of us is beginning to get that unction that it's happening. God is bringing us not only into a season of financial abundance, but of abundance of miracles and signs and wonder. And some of you in this body have known for a long time that there was a call on your life, but your life hasn't lined up with your call yet. But you see, it's my job to keep loving you and praying for you and encouraging you, because the fact that God called you identifies the truth that God can use you there. Well, Pastor, what do I do until the time comes? You resolve yourself to the fact, I can't promote me, but I can be faithful to serve where my hand can find. And so you've got a flyer with your notes today. It's one of many you're going to start seeing around the building. I've asked Michelle and Lou to start putting together ideas for a new phrase I want you to learn. Not what's your office, what's your gift, what's your talent. I want you to start identifying one another with, where do you serve? I'm pastor and I serve as God's representative to this body, God's gift to this body. But you see, it's not all wonderful, because God said to pray for you, to cover you, to defend you, to stand in the gap for you, to tell you the truth even when you don't want to hear it, and to love you when you don't. So I want you to begin thinking, where do I serve? Because once I surrender, because it said, the verse on that tells you, the Lord didn't come to be served, but to serve. So when the Lord called me, he said, I want you to teach my people faith. And I wanted to know how big the congregation would be. And he let me know the day would come that we would have a congregation of 10,000 people. Maybe not in one congregation, but we would have that size congregation that we've affected in the earth. But he also let me know, if nobody comes, I want you to be faithful. And so through the years, whether we've had one or a multitude, we've been up to the 300 mark and we've been down to the 3 mark. And one time we showed up for church and nobody showed up. But we didn't say, well, we're going home. No. We sang, we praised God, we received the offering. It was a little light that night. I wasn't that big a giver that evening. And we preached the word, and once we started preaching the word, up until that time we were praying, God, send somebody in, send somebody in. We started preaching the word, we changed our prayer. God, don't let anyone come in and see us preaching. They'll think we're crazy, and they're preaching to an empty building. But you see, I'm saying that to encourage you. Because when God calls you to serve in an area, he doesn't always give you success the first day, the first week, the first month, the first year. But he said, if you're faithful, begin asking God, God, where do you want me to set my hand to serve? How can I serve you and serve the kingdom? How can I serve the body? Where can I serve, and what would you have me to do? Not, Daddy God, what spotlight is open that I can step into that spotlight and receive the honor and praise that's due me? No, Daddy, where do you want me to serve? Because no one stands any taller than when they're bent over to reach to someone else in need. Amen. But God may not call you to a ministry to needs. He may call you to a high position. But if he does, take it with simplicity, not with pride. Amen. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, don't do it to be seen of men. Don't do it for the praise and the accolades. Do it as unto the Lord, that God's glorified in what you did. Amen. I want to thank you for 36 years of allowing me to be your pastor. 36 years of investing in you the gospel of the kingdom. And I can say this to you without fear or intimidation or worry. I am good ground.
Amen.
Not because I'm perfect, but because I'm yielded. Because church, my wife can tell you, I've missed it a few times. But if she tells you, I'll have to hurt her. But every human is fallible. Every human makes mistakes. So don't listen for the human in your brothers and sisters. Listen for what's God. Don't listen here and don't observe here. Let it be out of your spirit. So that Brother Damon comes in sweaty from a long run, and you look at him and he's sweaty and he's hot and he's tired, and you go, can any good thing come out of this? No. You listen, you hear God, because he ran all the way to you. He was so excited about the word God gave him.
Right.
You catch Brother Sean, and he's just been on the basketball court, and he's wet all over and dripping from
breaking ankles,
trying to dunk on people taller than him. And you're not sure you even want a hug. But you realize that's the love of God in him reaching out to me, and you hear what he's got to say. Because sometimes God doesn't send your meal in a silk-lined envelope. He sends it to you in the mouth of a dirty bird.
Yes. Yes.
But if you'll receive it as it is, a gift from God, then God can bless you, promote you, honor you, and increase you. Daddy God, I lift this congregation before you, past, present, and future. And I decree that your hand is upon this people for success. I decree that you lead them in a plain path and that you anoint them with wisdom and understanding. I praise you, Father, that they have jobs when no one else has jobs, raises when no one else has raises, promotions when no one else is being promoted. Our people are blessed and empowered, anointed, infused, and quickened. Father, I thank you that they are under a covering of divine protection and safety. They are kept by your grace, preserved by your might, and infused by your word. And the wicked one touches them not. But all of the people of House Lord Fellowship Church are disciples taught of the Lord. And great is their peace and undisturbed composure. And Father, as they honor you by honoring your gifts, your servants, your people, and those you send across their path, Father, I thank you that you pour out upon them supernatural increase and blessings. Because as they honor you and honoring whom you send to them, they open the door to your blessings and abundance in their life. Father, thank you for this people whom I call blessed and decree the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and show you his abundant supply. For in this season of his visitation, you will walk in his abundance, talk in his authority, and demonstrate his power. For miracles, signs, and wonders are becoming your normal way of life. And the people said,
amen.
You're loved, you're blessed, go with God. If you're visiting with us today, there are ministers in the front foyer who would like to meet and greet with you. Be blessed. Go with God. I'll see you at 2:00.